Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne. And a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special guest for you. We're joined by the one and only Katarina Lee. Kat, how's it going?
Good morning. It's going very well, thank you. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Can't complain at all. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
It's
you're welcome.
Yeah.
So, Kat, you are a legend in the wrestling world. You know, you've done TNA wrestling, of course, WWE. You've gone by Winter. Tell me, I guess, how you first got involved with the sport of professional wrestling.
Well, I was a big fan, and I just by coincidence, I didn't know that you could learn to do that. I somehow thought that it only existed in the magical, you know, mystical wonderland of TV. And so one day I saw a British show. I was in England. I saw this show advertised, and I watched it, and I thought, wow, these people can do it, and I must be able to learn how to do this. So I did some research. I found the wrestling school, and I just started training. And then once I got a bit better, and they let me do some shows, and one thing led to another, basically.
Very nice, very nice. So when you first started, did you realize, like, how big or, you know, how much a part of your life that this would be? Because this has been huge for you.
Yes and no. I mean, I always had this idea that I would like to, you know, walk down a WWF at the time ramp, now WWE, obviously. But it wasn't necessarily the ultimate goal. You know, I was happy just learning how to do it, and then I was happy doing shows, and then I was happy, you know, getting paid to do shows. And then, you know, eventually when WWE did sign me, I went, oh, wow, this is awesome. But, I mean, my thing was, like, acting was also something that was kind of always the ultimate goal as well. You know, so I was pursuing that simultaneously, and then wrestling just kind of took over, I guess.
Wow. Okay. So I know that you just mentioned that you love acting as well, and, you know, acting has been such a huge part of your life as well.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that it's hard to balance the work that you've done with wrestling with the work that you've done on film? Is there ever, I guess, like a conflict or just a time where it's just kind of tough for you to kind of, you know, choose between the two, I guess?
Yes, and it's always coincidentally, even when I don't wrestle that much, but it's always coincidentally when I have something planned that I might get. You know, it's happened a couple of times that I had a acting gig at the same time as I had a wrestling gig, you know, and I've missed out on a couple of acting things. And then actually last year I was booked on a tour, and I, you know, pulled out. I wasn't under my name, so that was okay. I got a replacement, you know, because it was under, like, a mouse character. But I was supposed to be on a tour, and then instead I got off with this film, Icon Wine, that I shot last year in England. But, you know, I called the Russian guys, and they were very, you know, gracious in letting me out and find a worthy, more than worthy replacement. So that worked out okay. You know, but that would be the only time when there's really a conflict. Other than that, they complement each other very well.
Absolutely. I want to jump ahead, and I want to talk about, two of your most recent films. The first one is Karate Kill, and
yeah.
I had a chance to see the screener for this, and it's amazing. It definitely takes it back to kind of the vintage 80s action films.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the martial arts exploitation films. What drew you to this film? Because it's done so well. It's shot very well and everything.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, the thing is, I submitted for the role. You know, I submitted for a lot of things. I really don't know, you know, what I'm getting into before I go to, say, you know, before I experience the audition or whatever it is. You know, so I just saw a breakdown, and I saw the character, and I thought, you know, I'd be good for this. That fits me, you know, fits my type, fits my, what I enjoy doing. So I submitted, and then, you know, I got the audition, and then I got the call back, and then, you know, Karina Mitsotaki cast me, luckily. And I didn't really, I guess, know how amazing it was going to be until, you know, we started going. We had a day rehearsal where we had a wardrobe fitting, and that was really exciting. And, you know, to see what my outfit was going to be. And that's, I guess, when I really had an idea that it was really going to be great. And then working with the stunt team, that was an amazing group of guys and so skilled. You know, and I learned a lot from them, even though I'm not anywhere close to, you know. They were free runners as well. So on set, I watched them, you know, run up and down vehicles and jumping over cars in the blazing hot sun and walking up walls and all the rest of it. So that was pretty incredible. But yeah, you don't really know how it's going to be until you start working on a project, you know. So I got lucky, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. What was the highlight for you in shooting this film? I know that, you know, it had to have been pretty arduous at times. But was there, I guess, one thing or one person that just made this film that much more, I guess, memorable to you?
Well, Kurendo, really, you know, the director. It was just such a pleasure working with him because he knows exactly what he wants and he has such a great vision, you know, and he's not afraid to make it, you know, over the top and crazy and wild and, you know, he doesn't shy away from anything. And to have that was amazing. And then a lot of the scenes that I did, you know, ended up being improvised, which, you know, I didn't realize. Like, I looked at the script, and I'm like, oh, I don't really have that much to do, because a couple of times it was a sentence, you know, Simona walks towards whatever, and that's it. And then the scene came about, and it was actually, like, a full scene. And we were able to, you know, improvise and really have fun with it. And Karan always encouraged us to go bigger and play with it more and everything like that. So that was just a really awesome experience to be able to just push yourself and, you know, go outside of what maybe you thought your boundaries were, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. So essentially you had to kind of breathe new life into, I guess, this film because, like you said, there were, you know, specific, I guess, scenes that just didn't really have, you know, they just said, you know, walk here, walk there, stuff like that. And so you really, it seems like you had to add, like, your own, I guess, little bit of creativity and everything.
Yeah, I mean, once I set up, there was a whole, you know, Karanda set a whole scene. It was just in the script. It wasn't really, you know, I couldn't really see anything there. I read the script and I thought, oh, I'm not really in this, you know, and I showed up on set and there was a full scene, you know, and Karanda envisioned everything. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we got to play with it and fill in the blanks a little bit more. So that was pretty awesome.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now you're also working, or there's another film slated to be released called Redcom 1, and it's like a zombie apocalypse, zombie thriller. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was the film that we shot last year in England. And, that was really great. We were there for, like, I think 2 months altogether. I was there. So I'll play one of 8 soldiers. When we go into the infected zone and, you know, try and find a cure and everything like that. And it was just a really awesome experience. And the production really pushed itself to get us some really awesome locations. And, I mean, we filmed, like, by Tower Bridge in London, you know, which I wouldn't have expected us to be able to do. So and we just had a really great group of, you know, people to work with again.
Absolutely.
That was pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you now, when you prepare to take on a role, you know, normally, you know, it's you've been in, you know, action-type films. Do you have any, I guess, particular ritual or thing that you do to kind of prepare yourself to take on these roles?
Not necessarily like a specific thing. I guess it depends, you know, what the role is. I have to say that these villainous characters probably come the easiest to me, to be honest with you. I don't know if that's because I play a villain, you know, when I wrestle, because I really enjoy, you know, playing evil. I really enjoy allowing my evil twin sister to come out and play, shall we say. So I guess it depends on, you know, what the complexity of the characters within the script, and then, you know, you have to figure out what is their motivation and everything like that. And, yeah, you just kind of try to figure out who is this person and why, and then you get to play.
Absolutely. Now, I know that you've also done television as well, and some stage work. Has there ever been, like, a role that you've done that, like, was just, like, I guess, really nerve-wracking, or it took you, like, have you ever been, like, I don't know if I want to do that, or, you know, have you been, like, hesitant to do a role?
I don't know. I can think of one right now. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess once you commit to a project, you've already made up your mind, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, I mean, if I see something in the breakdown that I go, oh, I don't know about this, then I will probably not go for it in the first place.
Next thing.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that I could really think, most roles, you know, have something interesting or you can learn from, or, you know, it'll be a good experience to do. The only thing where you might have some hesitation is if you see that the production isn't up to par. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I wanted to ask you, what or who are your biggest influences? Like, who's, you know, kind of help to shape who you are, you know, as an actress and as a wrestler?
Huh. Well, I guess it's interesting because when I started watching wrestling, I was always very much a fan of the guys that didn't do the technical stuff. You know, I was a fan of the guys who just did the kicking and the punching and the quite basic, because I wasn't really that. For me, it was about the characters and the story and everything like that. And then once you start training, your attention shifts a little bit and you start going, oh, this sequence is really neat, or, oh, that was really clever. You know, and you start thinking about wrestling in a different way and you look at it a different way. So your attention starts to shift. But I mean, I think really in terms of people that I watched and that I wanted to emulate would be mainly The Rock, probably. You know, so I know it's like a cliche or whatever, but it's true. You know, just because he was so, I guess, versatile and brought so much to, and new stuff to the table as well. You know, so
Absolutely.
And then once you're there, you learn from the people that you're with. You know, so you have your Mickey James and your Beth Phoenix and your Melina, and you go, oh, wow. You know, and you can really learn from things that they bring to the table, not just in the ring, but around and outside of the ring as well.
Absolutely. Mm. What would you say inspires you? I know, you've studied film and drama for, you know, well over 3 years. You've been involved with the wrestling world. What keeps you, I guess, motivated? What inspires you to do the work that you do?
Well, anytime I watch a really good movie, that inspires me. You know, anytime that I read something that has really great dialogue, really great language, it inspires me. And then just knowing what a thrill it is to do it. You know, when you're on stage or when you're on set, there's really nothing else like it. So just the opportunity to do that again, that motivates me. And then, but inspiration can be found in anything, like a piece of music or a piece of art. you know, or like I said, you know, film or a TV show or a book, anything that you see or even, you know, nature, anything can be, you know, an inspiration.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In terms of legacy, what is the legacy that you want to leave behind? What's the biggest takeaway that you want people to get from the work that you've done?
Oh, I have not yet thought of it as a legacy. That's a big word. I guess if I would want people to take something away from it, you know, would be maybe to see the, you know, the enjoyment, the pleasure that I got from it, you know. And I think that maybe the most important thing to remember, you know, somebody else to, you know, follow a career in wrestling or in acting would be to really enjoy the process, you know, and do it for the sake of doing it and not for the end results. You know, I had this girl once, I was at a independent show. This was after my time in WWE and I think after my time in TNA as well. And I had a match with somebody and she came up to me afterwards and she said, "Was it all worth it?" And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "Was it worth it, like the sacrifice and the blood, sweat, and tears and everything?" And I just looked at her and I'd never thought of it as a sacrifice, you know, all the countless shows that I did for free or the countless driving 3 hours just to go training and driving 3 hours back again twice a week that I did for a while. You know, all of that, you know, or the acting classes or struggling because I'm doing a play in London, which is essentially unpaid and I'm somehow trying to survive at the same time because I love it so much. You know, all of that can't be a sacrifice. If it's a sacrifice, you're already kind of losing. You know, it has to be all part of the process and part of the love for the arts and not about just getting an end result at the end of it because that might not come.
That's right. Mm. That's right. You're so right. Wow. That was very, very deep.
Well, I think it's important to remember that because sometimes people, you know, lose sight of it, especially, you know, like in wrestling, there's so many independent wrestlers that really want to make it to WWE, which is really great. But then if you don't make it there, you don't want to feel like you've wasted your time, you know, then you've approached it the wrong way, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to really love it as you do it. I mean, when I did it, I was just the first time I did a show in front of 20 people. I was so excited. I mean, I'm sure everybody is, but, you know, that to me was the ultimate goal. And then the next show was the ultimate goal and so on and so forth. And it changes a little bit when you do have, you know, something like, oh, when I go to WWE, it's really great to have a goal and to work towards it, but it can't be the only thing that drives you.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, because I think, you know, if it is the only thing that drives you, you know, you potentially risk burnout, you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Although that's the same thing, you know. You might get incredibly lucky one day and get cast in something like Karate Kill. You know,
yep.
And you might not have and then you might not have an audition again for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing with acting. It's you have like these, you have these down times, these periods of,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's like, you know, you are booking films, you're getting work, and then you'll just have, you know, like this plateau where it's like, you know, nothing at all for, you know, a couple months.
Yeah. So, but then, you know, like you said, what is the best thing about it? Well, when you're on set, you know, that's the most amazing thing, so.
Absolutely. What other advice would you give to somebody that's, you know, seeking a career in, you know, professional sports such as yourself or,
mm-hmm.
you know, acting or film? Do you have any advice for somebody trying to get out there?
I enjoy the process. Really believe in yourself. find people that support you and believe in you, you know, that want to work with you. And just, I guess, explore your creativity. You know, for me, it's also, I write a little bit, and I've, you know, written and directed a web series, and that creative process, you know, just brings so much joy. You know, find like-minded people that you can just do stuff with, you know, and just do stuff. And then eventually things will start happening magically, perhaps.
Absolutely. That's some good advice.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Where can our listening audience find out more about you and kind of keep abreast of what you're doing?
Well, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Katarina's Infamy. And then my Facebook page is Facebook.com/Katarina's Infamy. And then I have a website, which I don't update as much as I should, but it's also Katarina'sInfamy.com.
Oh, very nice, very nice. And in the months to come, what can we expect from you? I know that Karate Kill is, you know, it's definitely, I think it's already out. And then I think your zombie film, Redcon, that comes out later this year.
I'm not sure when that's coming out. I'm not sure if it's done yet or if it's still in post-production. Karate Kill is out July 18th on Blu-ray, DVD, and video on demand. And, yeah, and then look out for Redcon. And in the meantime, buy Karate Kill.
Very nice.
It's actually,
very
nice. I actually really, really enjoyed that movie. I kept laughing. I watched it, and I kept laughing out loud to myself.
it must be something to film something, you know, to make a film and then to be able to watch it after, you know. It's got to be surreal, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
Man, that's awesome. Well, Katarina, I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to thank you so much for coming on to our show today. And I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
No, I think we've covered everything. Thank you so very much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It was definitely my pleasure. I was glad that we were able to nail down time and to do this interview. So I really appreciate it. I know you're super busy. So.
Okay.
As I said, I know you're super busy and schedules at first. It's just really...
Not too busy for you and Karate Kill.
Well, Katarina, thank you so much. We will definitely put the links to your website in the body of this post. And if you guys are listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We are also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, feel free to just search for our shows in the iTunes store. Search Stitcher's Smart Radio. Our show name is Redefining the Counterculture. You can download the app and listen to our show right in the comfort of your own home or in the car or wherever. Android users have no fear. Excuse me. We're available in the Google Play Store. Just search Google Play Music. Search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. And lastly, we're available on Roku. If you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can watch our show right in the privacy of your own home. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our name. Once you search for the name, just download the app, and you can watch over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews all free of charge.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.